Sound for everyone.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
All right. And you can all see me and see also Colleen?
Yes.
Great. And those of you who don't have a camera on, if you're able to turn the camera on, that would be great. All right. Why don't we begin with a prayer? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful and enkindle in them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy spirit and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit instructed the hearts of thy faithful, grant that in this same spirit we may savor what is right and truly rejoice in his consolation, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Mary, Mother of the Church, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, welcome everyone. We're delighted to finally get started with you. We want to spend this time together basically giving you a little bit of an overview, as I said in the email, preparing you for how to prepare your faculty to receive some of this. I think that's the critical piece. And then answer lots of questions going forward. So first, I would like to introduce you to Colleen Richards. Colleen. Colleen is our Director of School Services, and as I said in the email, she'll be your primary contact going forward. She will be coming out for the December 2nd Professional Development Day with Mr. Danny Flynn, the principal of St. Jerome Academy. So how many of you, may I ask, were at how many of you were not at the August 12th introductory day where Danny and I were there? Anybody? Okay, most or all of you were there. So you'll be in very good hands on December 2nd because you'll have both Colleen and Danny, both of whom are very seasoned educators, both whom have run schools, transitioned schools, and had a lot of time in the classroom. And they're very inviting to teachers, and that our major objective for December 2nd is sort of to win the confidence and generate some excitement among your faculty. So to that end, one of the big questions for us in terms of what we want to cover and how we want to pitch it on that day is about the readiness of your faculty and how open you think most people are to trying this. So maybe we could just, I see that Mrs. Lubinacci-Kaczynski is on here, and I had the great fortune of being with them for a day, and I think they've already gotten started on this. So maybe I could just ask you, Marianne, first to, if you can, I don't know if you're muted or unmuted, if you could just share what you're finding so far. Maybe I'm going to stop sharing the screen so we can see more of each other.
I am muted, and you can't hear me.
I can hear
you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yay! All right. Okay, so.
But I can hear you.
Our faculty staff have. Because I'm on the phone as well, so that I can pay attention to what's going on. So my faculty and I are, our parents are already very, it's already well communicated to our families, well communicated to the community around us. Our pastor and faculty have already implemented different approaches to teaching, which we have learned along the way from Elizabeth, from Dan, from attending the seminary, really reading and the cardinal standards. So we are plugging away. We are by all means not fully adapted, but definitely are.
Okay, so we're having a little bit of problem with the sound there, but I just want to pick up on something that, let's see if we can include that. I just want to pick up on a few things that Mrs. Lubinacci-Kaczynski said. So the one thing to really know about this is it's really more than a modality to be adopted. It's really a philosophy to kind of the beginning of the rest of our lives as educators. It's really true. What it really is fundamentally is to grow in the art of teaching. And that's the simplest way that I can explain it. Somebody might need to be muted. Polly, maybe you're able to see if there's one microphone that needs to be muted so we can all hear. If you've had a chance to look at the proposal, I just wanted to say we're going to have to figure out something about the sound.
It's like a scary movie.
I know it is. Maybe everybody could mute themselves for now. And I'll just speak for a minute, and then you can unmute yourself. Thank you. Okay. I just want to describe that, especially what we'll be doing on December 2nd, is really kind of an introduction. And can you hear me better now? Great. Okay. Thank you. I can see you, May. You can give me the sign. It's really basically an introduction, and it will be much of what you learn there is really applicable to teaching presently. And it whether your school goes wholeheartedly in this direction or not, that will be a useful day just to put this all in context. What we usually recommend, as you saw in the transition plan, if you go ahead with this, is that the first year we replace social studies with sort of this chronological story of history. So we're weaving together history and literature and salvation history through this chronological tale. Because let me back up. Most of our schools, what we're finding in these schools is there are two things that are added that seem to be missing generally, that we've kind of missed in terms of Catholic identity. So most of our schools, and from what I hear, all of your schools are really serious about teaching the faith, and that this is very fairly widespread in your archdiocese. I think that's all done very well, teaching the faith, introducing the sacraments, the lives of the saints, all of those things. The things that I think we're finding are missing and make a real difference when we add it in terms of exciting the children and really teaching from the point of view of faith, because the world is a different faith place through the eyes of faith. The two things we're adding in, and you'll see it in the plan. Number one, I'm going to call it story, because most of us have not really heard this kind of story of human history, the story of the world through the eyes of faith. So we don't actually all know, many of us, I certainly didn't, know the story of salvation history from the beginning. So what I mean by that is, as a Catholic, we have a different view of history than the modern world. We believe that history had a beginning, it had a pivotal point in the incarnation, and it will have an end. And so therefore the consequences of living each day, turning toward our Lord or turning away from him, are significant. And we want to form the imagination of these children from their earliest years in understanding that life is not just a series of events. It's not just about seeking pleasure and avoiding pain, that really this is a significant story of God calling us back to him. And one of the ways that's very powerful to do that is to basically tell this story of salvation history, to link those lives of the saints to the crisis of the day. What God was calling great saints to rise up against different heresies and different problems of the time. And we want them to see themselves in this story. Also the story of the church, the story of the achievements of the church in science, in literature, in architecture, in music, in all of these things, because that's our family story. And as I think I said to some of you who were there on August 12th, we have to see ourselves in the story to understand its significance. That's part of our identity. That is our family story. And any anthropologist will tell you that a culture that doesn't know its story finally dissipates. So this idea of story that you're going to introduce in the first year, if you choose to do this, is number one, very non-threatening. because no one has to worry that the math scores are going to plummet or that any kind of standardized testing is going to be affected by this. But what we're really doing is engaging the hearts and the minds of children in the story. And as we know, our Lord taught by parable. We all learn by story. And so this gives teachers the freedom to spend time reading stories in class. You know, we're choosing stories, history and literature that align, historical fiction, and we're just learning how to do something you already know how to do, to read stories to children, but also to begin to ask them questions that nurture, that develop their human ability to listen, to think, to make connections, to remember. So we're in this approach to education, we're thinking not only about the information and the skills we need to convey, we're thinking about the child himself or herself, about cultivating all of those human faculties that they need, not just to learn skills in the world, but also to learn about the world God created, to make them alert to these things. So that is the role of story, and it's a lot of fun. So the other reason we start there is because you get the biggest bang for your buck there. Children respond to this and they become more engaged and they become passionate about the ideas. So it sort of gives teachers the freedom to be able to spend time on this and understanding that this is as instructional as anything else they could do in the classroom. So that's the big thing, one of the biggest changes. And part of what that means is beginning then to, if you choose to follow, say, something along the lines of the St. Jerome curriculum, if you teach first grade, for example, to begin to get your resources that show you some of the key features you might want to draw out in the lives of the Greeks, or second grade, the lives of the Romans, or particularly the medieval world, because so many of us have only seen a secular view of the Middle Ages as the Dark Ages, rather than the age when faith and reason was truly united. So that's the rationale behind that. And then the other thing we really want to focus on in the first year, that would be next year, is to begin by assessing this year what you use for language development, like starting with phonics all the way through learning how to write in stages. So there's different programs that we can recommend for that. Again, this is not one model to adopt. We want to help teachers understand the philosophy behind this so you as a community together can choose the things that line up with this philosophy. Because we really want to achieve the mastery of language, because mastery is the medium of thought. But we don't start with sort of creative writing. Children need to be taught to write in really logical steps, so that they have the framework and the tools to build. So you want every teacher, whether the teacher is science or math or what have you, for everyone to be kind of on board with this understanding of the role of language, because some of the things we might recommend include ways to give an oral report that would follow a certain format. And so these skills are universal across the curriculum. I'm just gonna pause and say, Colleen, would you like to add anything to what I've added about those two things, the history and literature and the language in the beginning?
Just what strikes me is regarding the language, it is what Beth just said, that language is the medium of thought. And so when we, as teachers, we've been saying for years, decades, we want our students to have good critical thinking skills. Well, learning to use language precisely and to use language correctly is key for them to have good critical thinking skills. So this is really not something, it's not like you're doing something completely different. I think it's really just an opportunity to dive deeper into what we already know as teachers our students need.
Great, thank you. Does anybody have any questions about that so far? A lot of this will be choosing better just materials for the teacher. We can recommend some background things for the teacher to sort of immerse herself or himself in this in time leading up, and to choose stories and themes that you might want to bring out so that you're uniting the history, the literature, but you're also bringing in the lives of the saints, the story of the church, to show that this is really concrete, that the story of the church is not separate from the rest of the history of the world. So one of the absolute keys to this model, this approach to education and for transition for the schools, is for the teachers to understand that this is not something imposed from above. It's really something that every person in the school is contributing to. It's the creativity and the buy-in, and also the faculty really forming a community of learners together. That it's really what we see across the nation is that this is freeing teachers to live their vocation in Catholic education much more fully. It's helping them make these connections and to continue as learners along with their children, because as we all know, we can't give what we don't have. And so we want them to understand from the very beginning that they are creative actors in this process of transitioning the school. Would you agree, Colleen? Colleen can tell you, you can unmute yourself. Colleen led a school, let me just give you this background. She stepped in with no training in classical liberal arts education after, I think, 16 or 17 years in the classroom to be the head of school at St. John Bosco Schools in upstate New York. And the teachers had already had actually more training than she did in this, but it was so natural for Colleen, because what is this really? It's having eyes to see and ears to hear the things of the Lord and just cultivating our ability to do that. So she was seeing how creative the teachers were and how much they were a part of the team. So it's not a terribly hierarchical approach. I think many principals who are doing this across the country, they should not feel like they need to be an expert in this to begin. That you are supporting teachers in growing in this way, and you become a team of learners together, and that humility to lead it when you're not an expert in it is very freeing. You don't need to be paralyzed by this. We do it in stages, and you grow in it together, and it's really very fun and very bonding for the community of teachers. Does anybody have questions about that so far? We can speak about the second year, but it's really just continuing to grow in this way. So a new way to look at science, for example, to really develop eyes to see and ears to hear the things of science. So let me give you one example that we've run into that's different than how we might be doing it now. A lot of our schools will follow the next gen science standards. If you really look at those standards, they're somewhat out of order. So for literally thousands of years since the time of Aristotle and St. Thomas Aquinas, all the way through the church's tradition, through the Middle Ages and up into modern times, it was understood that we begin to know through our senses. We begin to know from the concrete to the abstract, from the particular to the universal. So the next generation science standards, for example, in the first grade curriculum has units, it's kind of a mishmash of different things. So one unit is on molecules, waves, and energy. So that doesn't really make any sense, because a six-year-old can't see molecules, waves, and energy. Those are abstract thoughts. For younger children, we want to build up their ability to observe things as a whole, collections of rocks, and to categorize things, correct, collections of living things, to observe bugs in their habitat, colonies of ants, things like that, that they can see in nature, not abstract thoughts. We build to that. We build to physics, to biology, chemistry, and physics later on. But this has always been a very sequential ladder of learning, and you'll see that it's very logical and very freeing. And we'll give you many tools to look at that if you proceed. We'll give the teachers many tools to look at that. It's actually easier than trying to follow standards. Now, it's not that we ignore standards. We look at standards as basically the floor. Often what we're recommending that teachers do is plan the lesson according to the kinds of things we're saying, and then look at the standards you're trying to hit. And most often you're hitting all of them, but you're not starting with them and trying to fit something into it. Because standards are very well intentioned. None of us want to miss some critical piece of that learning process. But we also don't want to be, we want to be able to look above and beyond at the higher things we're trying to do while we're building those skills and hitting that content. So that's just a little bit of overview of how we approach this. I just want to stop and see if anybody has any questions so far. Okay. One thing I'd like to add in terms of the pacing, this will really be up to you in terms of the readiness of how quickly you want to proceed with this, how much you want to adopt. Usually we want teachers to feel very confident about the different pieces. We don't really want to do it all together. So we wouldn't recommend changing science in the first year. Another point I want to make is this. your situation is very unusual because you have not only the support of the superintendent and his team, you also have the support of the Archbishop himself. As you know, part of his vision statement included even mention of the Institute and this sort of vision of education that's spreading across the country. So to have the blessing of the Archbishop and the support of the superintendent is really a luxury that many other schools who are succeeding at this have not had. So I just want to encourage you that this should not be daunting. It's very gradual. It's also very natural. And in our experience, the teachers really just love it. It's just a matter of being open. So with that in mind, I want to switch to Colleen and ask her to just describe what we plan to do on December 2nd, and how you might prepare the faculty to receive that.
Right. So on December 2nd, I'll be there again with Danny Flynn, whom many of you met back in August. And we've really structured the day to be very much an introduction and an exploratory kind of day. We want to give you some background of the philosophy that's involved. And for those of you who've heard the August talk and now you're listening to Beth, I'm just going to imagine out loud what you're thinking. Probably, like, oh yes, we heard this in August. Oh yes, that's true. One thing Beth mentioned early in our webinar today is that this is very much a philosophy to infuse. I would tell my teachers at St. John Bosco, it's kind of like tea. You have to let it steep for a while. So on the one hand, on December 2nd, you are going to hear a lot of articulation of the philosophy behind this kind of education. And then on the other hand, having been a teacher myself for 25 years, I know that you really want to walk out of there with some concrete things that you can use in your classroom. And literally, we're going to try to give you some things that you can use even, you know, the following week. So this, like we said, it's a philosophy to infuse. You really don't have to wait until September of 2020 before you do any of this. And I really think that some of the tools you walk away with on December 2nd will be ready right away for you to just kind of look at your lessons differently. And then you'll also get to see how your students respond. I know I did that when I was finishing my school year, getting ready to go to St. John Bosco. I was just catching on to this philosophical shift a little bit. And I remember assigning a history writing assignment to my fourth graders that was just very ordinary, you know, tell about so-and-so and how such-and-such happened. And at lunchtime, it hit me, you know, it might be more classical if I ask them to describe, you know, this decision and was it a heroic decision or not. And I just shifted the assignment, you know, everybody take out your homework pad, cross out what we wrote, I'm going to break this instead. And literally one of the nine-year-olds said to me, you mean we get to write about that? And I said, yeah, I just changed your assignment. You have to write about that. He goes, we get to write about that. So you really will see that sometimes it's very small things that just get shifted a little bit that change the attitude in your classroom completely. And that's for students and teachers as well. So as I said, we're going to try to give you some philosophical stuff. We're going to give you some concrete things to go right along with it so that you can kind of get started and get excited about this. One thing that originally Beth and I were hoping you could do this ahead of time, and now the days go by very quickly. There is a webinar on our website that Beth did for the NCAA. If you have the opportunity between now and December 2nd to watch it, it's about an hour, and it's a really excellent introduction to this whole idea. It gives history, context, a lot of really great information. And some of it will be repeated on December 2nd, but I'd say the longer that my faculty and I grew in this, the more we really appreciated the repetition, that we could actually start articulating it ourselves. So for those out there who you have an extra hour and you'd like to, you can look for the NCEA webinar or on the ICLE website. I would like to hear from those who are present a couple of things. I'm looking for a little bit of information. How many teachers about do you think are going to be at the December 2nd workshop day? And also, can you give us an idea of of where are your teachers in this process of learning about it? Is it brand new? Have you had this conversation with your faculty already? Have you been talking about it for 2 years and just now it's finally happening? Just give us a sense of the audience that we're gonna have on December 2nd. I've got a list in front of me. Maybe I could ask Bishop Kelly. Well, why don't Bishop Kelly people figure out who's going to speak for you? See a nice little crowd here. That good, good. If you're ready, maybe we'll start with Bishop Kelly. Don't hear you yet. Oh. Can you? I see a person talking, but I don't hear you. All right.
Oh, that was promising.
All right. Well, should we start with somebody else while they're working on their technical difficulties? Father Prill, I see you. Could you tell us about your school? We'll come back to Bishop Kelly.
Can you hear me now?
Right, if I need it right now? Nope. All right. Where we're at, though, we're still a relatively new process for us. We're just getting information and everything, and it was just brought to the staff not that long ago, so it's relatively new for all of us, so it's still a work in progress.
Okay. And the school that you're talking about, Father, is
St. Joe in Erie, Michigan.
St. Joe in Erie, very good. How large is the faculty? Any idea how many would you see on December 2nd? We've got you frozen a little bit there.
Can you hear us now?
There's 12 of the faculty.
I don't know
them. 12 in the faculty at St. Joseph in Erie. Okay, and they're beginners. Okay, good. And I did hear someone asking if we could hear. Was that Bishop Kelly?
It was. So we have 8 teachers going, and we have heard that we're going to implement this, but we don't know much more than that.
Okay. Well, you know, we have definitely structured the day, and we are considering it to be an exploratory day, an introduction. It's really... We find it very important that faculty are involved in learning about this kind of education right from the start. I'm a longtime teacher, as I mentioned, and I'm familiar with the kind of professional development that comes in this form. It says, we've decided to do a new program, and you're going to do it, and here's your 2 days of training, and here you go. And we all kind of rolled our eyes and go, oh, what now? That's definitely not the approach that the Institute wants to take with faculty. I know as a head of school that everything I want from my students either happens or doesn't happen depending on you teachers. And if you want this to happen, you can go to the moon with it and make a spectacular job. And if you yourself have not been given the opportunity to grow in it and to know it and to appreciate it, then I know it's not going to happen in those classrooms. We're educators on the team at the Institute, and we know that that you teachers, you're where the rubber meets the road, and this mission is entirely dependent on you. It's very important to us that we're including you from the beginning. The nobility of your profession is very high, and we always have. That's really great that you've heard about it. Bishop Kelly, have you yet had much formation in it? Have you read articles or anything like that? Or are you just starting brand new?
Over and talk to her directly. This is enough.
That?
Yeah.
All right. No, we have. Can you hear me?
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
No, we have not had much formation, not formal formation.
Okay. Well, we're going to share a few resources today that maybe can help you get started. And then, of course, we'll see you soon.
That would be great. Thank you.
Good. Good. Okay, let's see. On my screen, I see somebody named Chris sitting in a room with white paint and a black bookcase.
Yep, that'd be me. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Here. This is St. Stephen's School. We did go, the three of us that are in the room attended the August 12th meeting, and we will be bringing the whole faculty, which is 9, on Monday, December 2nd.
Great.
Okay.
And Chris, has your faculty as a whole, do they know much about this kind of education?
I did introduce them to it last year. Beginning year staff meeting, I had some printouts because of the August 12th meeting. Mm-hmm. I gave what I received at the August 12th meeting as a resource for my teachers to look at and think about, and told them that this could be a transition that we're going to be making. So
good. And I understand too, in the communications with May and others at the Archdiocese, that as with all things in schools, that there are certain conversations we definitely want to have in-house before we go public. And that this is definitely a discernment process and a period of exploration. So we'll be repeating that message as well on December 2nd.
I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, who have we not yet heard from? I see Christy Mercurio, excuse me. Can you unmute yourself and tell us?
Okay, hang on.
Hang on. Are you coming back or no?
Can you hear me?
She's using the line. She's part of my staff.
The school staff. Okay.
Yeah, oh, okay. Okay. You're together.
Right. Yeah.
Good.
Great.
Okay. Oh, okay. So, all right. So this is St. Joseph in Erie, right?
We just were introduced to this past summer. So we're just gathering information. We aren't prepared for December 2nd. We're not signed up, or we didn't even know about it until this morning. So we don't have any plans to go at this point because we didn't know about it, but we're still learning and just gathering information about this process. We don't even know that we're interested. We just want to find out some more information right now.
Okay. All right. Well, fair enough. So I'll just consider that an opportunity that you heard about it before it happened and not after. And we'll just say a little prayer. Come Holy Spirit, if you want this school to come here, then bring them all here. Because I'll just say for myself, in my 25 years, I worked at, I can't remember if it was 8 schools or 9, and most of them were Catholic schools. Some were 10 years in the diocese, 10 years in independent schools. And I'll just give my own personal testimony that this is better than anything we did in any other school. And just inherently in what it is in itself, it was, I consider it a great gift, a tremendous gift to me personally, and certainly as a teacher for what I was able to give to my students and to their families. It was definitely worth it. And I would just really encourage you, if this is kind of a last minute thing and you're being asked questions kind of on the fly, are you going, are you not? I would really recommend that you just say, okay, we'll try it. just for the exploratory day. That'd be my recommendation. Okay. So you're Christy then, I think. That's you.
Yeah.
And then that leaves just Jill Haynes. Is Jill able to speak up to us?
Hi, this is Jill. I'm from the Archdiocese. I'm just listening in.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you, Jill. Glad to know that you're there. Okay, good. And I just want to say that the reason for us to kind of go around the room and introduce them this way is because you have essentially this little community that's local to you, right? You can have kind of these little sister schools, friend schools. I mean, you're all part of the Archdiocese anyway, so there's that. But this is a special bond. And as you start to grow in it, and, you know, typically our schools are very small. You probably have one classroom per grade level, but you might have a grade level partner who's across town that you can call and have coffee with occasionally. And really that community building is something we consider very important. So this is not time, even when we're hearing feedback and stuff like that, there is a value here, and I hope that it will just something that's going to grow over time. Now, I did want to mention a couple of things. First of all, the program that we put out is it's tentative. It's still in draft form. We are looking at that. That's what we think we're going with at this time, but there will probably be some changes before it's done. Another thing is that the RSVP to Angie Naylor is supposed to happen actually by Monday. It might even have said Tuesday, I'm not sure, but it really is actually needed on Monday. So, you know, why wait? Maybe do it today. Let Angie know how many you'll have with you at that day on December 2nd. All right, and then once we have our December 2nd workshop day, then, you know, we're looking at kind of this official start time, perhaps, for those who choose it, to be September of 2020, but there's no reason to wait. So I mentioned about some things you can use in your classroom right away. The other thing is, especially for school leaders, I'd really recommend that you are intentional from this point on about an ongoing faculty formation. And this is, you know, everybody together, not that you have to be an expert, as Beth said. So there are a few books that we recommend as a good way to work through together with teachers, even that you can use your faculty meeting time to do. One is The Case for Catholic Education. Again, it's called The Case for Catholic Education. That's by Ryan Topping. That's one resource that's very good. It's an easy read, very accessible. Another one that's excellent for any Catholic school to study is it's put together by Archbishop J. Michael Miller. It's called The Holy See's Teaching on Catholic Schools.
We can email the titles after. We'll email them.
Yes, good. The Holy See's Teaching on Catholic Schools. And that's another very simple compilation of what the popes and bishops and so on have put out about Catholic schools. That's very good as well. And another thing that is available to you is right on our website, we have multiple articles that are just really good for people to kind of study together. I found this very worthwhile. I know my teachers don't need one more thing to do. We would just read it together in a faculty meeting and then discuss, discuss the ideas that are in that article. It's something that we did in our faculty a lot, actually. We eventually got to where we would do little short passages of literature or history to just discuss the ideas that they contain and really get used to educating ourselves in this format so that then we could bring it to our classes. And numerous times we would have a faculty conversation of that type. And then later in the week, I would hear from the first grade teacher or the fourth grade teacher or the fifth grade teacher, oh, we had that conversation in my class and here's what the kids had to say about it. And it's really remarkable. We discovered that in modern education, we don't give kids enough credit. They have a lot of big ideas and they are capable of taking in a great deal more than what's currently being asked of them in general in modern education. And when they're given very meaty, weighty things to think about, they are ready. So I'd recommend those things for faculty formation and you'll see the trickle-down effect is gonna be very beautiful. Okay, so Beth, help me out. Am I missing anything?
No, not missing anything. I just want to add a couple of points here. This, I can imagine that this may seem like a complete, like a mountain that you'd have to get over if you're new to this. And I just want to say that it's worth every effort, not just for you personally, but also for the children in the classrooms. I think I gave my personal testimony in August, but I'm so passionate about this because I saw the difference in the formation of our youngest child who had this experience. His engagement and our other children are, you know, faithful Catholics. They've done really well. They're very engaged. This is a different kind of formation, and it has to do with what I would call this sacramental imagination, to be able to look at the world through the eyes of faith. And to see the connections between everything, to see yourself in the story. at the people don't understand that the K through 8 level is the most important piece, because that is the foundation of how they see them, how they begin to see themselves in the world. So the imagination is misunderstood. It's not that creative spark that springs from nothing. The imagination is how we image reality, how we see the world. And that all happens in childhood. So we want to nurture that with the youngest hearts and minds, because it gives them a different trajectory. And we don't even understand that we are, to use that Colleen's word, we're steeping in a secular culture now. We're in a post-Christian culture, and we don't understand how much we absorb of the sort of utilitarian and pragmatic view of everything. How is it useful? We also, that doesn't nurture the soul, and it doesn't ask them to ask the big questions. So we want to cultivate these habits of thinking in the youngest children, both for their intellectual development and for their spiritual life. And the teachers I know, there's really only, sometimes I say there's three ingredients to this, right? The first is, it really is a spark for those who love the Lord and want to continue growing in their faith. And I assume that that's true of most of you who have responded to a vocation in Catholic education. Second, those who love to learn, and we would hope that all teachers love to learn, that that's why they want to share that love of learning with students. This is an endless wonder of learning for both the teacher and the child. And just an openness. It's openness is the key ingredient. We don't want it to feel like a chore to anyone who takes this on. We want it to feel like this exciting adventure that we have all found, and these really small adjustments. And I think you'll see a lot of it is just good teaching. It's things that you do already. So I would, the Archdiocese is paying for us to come out and do this invitational day. So I would, even if this is news to you, if there's any way that you can bring your entire faculty, the day is structured in such a way to be an invitation to the richness of this. It's definitely worth the investment of time to come here, to come hear the testimony of Colleen and Danny, to see what it looks like. Even if you choose to go in this direction or you do not, some of the things they'll offer that day are things that are immediately useful in the classroom. So it's not professional development as a chore. It's professional development as an investment in the people who are guiding these children home to God. And the Institute really believes that the renewal of Catholic education is not about a curriculum. It's not about any kind of model. It's about investing in teachers, because it's you. We want to restore the nobility of teaching for you to really flourish in this vocation you've been called to. So we are all about building up teachers and supporting them. And all it requires is openness. So to see, we would really recommend sharing perhaps before the professional development day with your faculties, perhaps two things that's easily accessible on our website. One are the case studies. There's a document that you can download. We'll just make a note and send you the links to this. The case studies of six different schools who have gone through this transition. All of them, almost all of them like you, with no background whatsoever, but they said, this sounds interesting, let's try it. So those are those case studies. And then there's just a short article that appeared in NCEA's Momentum magazine over the summer. It's just a feature article on one of those schools. It's called Holy Innocent. The article is called Ever Ancient, Ever New. I think it's how the most exciting or the most promising innovation in Catholic education springs from a surprising source. Let's see. Hold on, I have a message from Marianne, which I now can't read. Marianne, if you want to unmute yourself.
Okay, I think, can you hear me?
Now I can, and there's no feedback this time.
All right, now you can hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just want to say, please note to the other schools, that when John Paul II was given the directive to become classical, we didn't have time to think about, gee, would we really like to do this? And I don't know, now that I look back, I go, that's an advantage, right? Because as Catholic school educators, we really do our homework to get things right. right? We expect it of our students, and we are those kinds of students. I can only say to you that given the directive from the Archbishop was quite an honor. And of course, we want to get this right. I can't tell you enough to just look into your hearts, because the process happens. It happens. Don't overthink it. Just follow your love for God and for teaching his children all about him and the families. You all know we educate families as well, and we are always evangelizing. So please, as you're praying about this, just look into your hearts. Don't overthink this. Just listen to what they have to offer and read St. Jerome and read Cardinal Newman and take advantage of the Cardinal Newman webinars that come across and look at the webinar on ICLE. But don't overthink it. You are all experts at what you do if you are Catholic and you believe in what you're teaching. Amen. That's all I can
say. Amen, Marianne. I can't offer better testimony than that. It's. I think we have a fear. We're perfectionists. We want to absolutely be experts before we share this with children. But if you just remember that this is just, it's just an extension of loving the Lord, seeing his creation and his reality through the eyes of faith and making connections and helping children to make those connections. It's fundamentally as simple as that. And once you have the vision, which doesn't take long, the tools, it's really just a handful of tools that you use over and over in different subjects and different classrooms. It's a way of seeing. So, Marianne, thank you so much for that testimony. I'll just share this. The day I gave a one-day workshop back in May to Marianne and her faculty, and I could tell when I walked in, they were just not so sure about this. But we had great fun that day, and by the end, and the evaluations, the teacher who I think was most opposed, by the end said, oh, she was totally convinced by the end of the day. And that wasn't me. It's just the beauty of this vision. And so all it takes is openness, and I think you'll find it's really a journey of faith for the teachers more than anything. It's been a journey for me in my faith just to go more deeply into these connections. So, we also just wanted to talk about next steps for you administrators or pastors who have a copy of the plan. There's a few things that I think are really helpful, and Marianne can actually speak to this. Marianne, I think you've been to 2 school leaders forums. Now, I think you have, or no, maybe Father Beachel has been to 2. But in any case, once in the fall and once in the spring, we typically offer what's called a school leaders forum so that the pastor and principal, or perhaps the principal and a couple of lead teachers, go and actually see a flagship school in action. And typically it's at either St. Jerome Academy in Hyattsville, Maryland, which we just had last week. And we're about to announce another one in the spring, in I believe March, at Our Lady of Lourdes in Denver. Our Lady of Lourdes was down to 90 students when this was kind of a Hail Mary pass. They got permission to try this. And it completely turned the school around. The school is bursting at the seams with about 300 students. They had to open a new campus this year. It's drawn families back into the church, and it's created this vibrant, vibrant community of faith and learning. So the next school leaders forum is there. You get to go in, wander around and go into classes. You get to have a panel with the teachers so you can hear what their, what their stumbles and what their successes were. And then it starts on a Thursday evening and it ends Saturday afternoon. So we have some presentations Saturday afternoon. And the big advantage of the school leaders forum is it removes so much anxiety, and it makes people motivated to try it, because you see that these are teachers just like you, with students just like you have, and they manage to, they're continuing to grow in this. So I highly recommend that. Go ahead, Colleen.
March 19th to the 21st.
Oh, okay.
And the registration will open soon.
Yeah, and that will be on our website within probably Monday, the registration for that. The Archdiocese has agreed to pay for, I believe it's 2 people from each school to go for the registration fee, not the travel. For you administrators, I also want to say that almost all of our services are professional development that's covered by Title II funding. So don't let the cost be an obstacle. The Archdiocese has been extremely generous in funding the building blocks for you to do this, because they understand, as we do, that it's all about supporting the educators and giving them the confidence and the tools to be able to do this. So if you go ahead with it and you do these pieces, then we also have a two-day workshop that really focuses on pedagogy, and we would do that at each individual school where we give you the, this is a lot of fun because we give you the tools the first day and then everybody teaches a lesson with it the second day, and you're just amazed by what you can do with a little rearrangement in a lesson. So that's great fun, that two-day workshop. We also recommend if anybody is able to come to our national conference, which this year is not so far away from you. It's in the upper Midwest. It's going to be in St. Paul, Minnesota, and that is July 27th through 30th. But what the National Conference does is it really gives you a sense of this really vibrant spreading renewal in the church. There's usually about 250 educators there. They come from all over the country. They're on fire for this, and they really see themselves as part of this movement. So if you are able to come or send anyone, again, Title II funding typically pays for that. Colleen, I think you brought almost your entire faculty every year from St. Jerome with Title II funding. Yep.
About 10 every year from St. John Bosco, wonderful.
John Bosco, sorry, yes. Anyway, so with that, I just want to open it to more questions. Especially for those who feel like there's a lot of hesitation about this. We really want to meet teachers and educators where they are and invite them to see how beautiful this is. So we'd love some feedback from you in terms of, have you heard specific objections to this? Have you heard concerns, insecurity? All of that's normal. Is there anybody who would like to share their own experience? Okay. St. Stephen, I know that this is very brand new to you. So the article and the case studies would be very useful to circulate as you discern whether you're able to join us on December 2nd. Okay. Any other questions, comments? We will, I think that you have both from the email we sent around, you have my email, you have Colleen's email. Please feel free to follow up with probably Colleen, since she'll be your primary contact. If you have specific questions or more resources that you'd like as you begin to pray about this and discern this.
Yes, don't hesitate to reach out. And we're praying for you too. You are definitely on our intention list, all of you and your faculties,
yes. Families. Dr. Bluestein, is there anything that you'd like to share from the Archdiocese?
Well, first of all, just thank you everybody for being able to join us today, and I hope that you were able to receive some information and some comfort in the idea of taking this new approach and confidence in that next step. I'm really thankful for Marianne Lupinacci joining us too and sharing her firsthand experience with that. I think that's very valuable, and I'm so appreciative of that. Because hearing it from somebody who's already gone through those first steps with their faculty and with their school, and hearing the positive feedback that this can be something very strong and something to not fear, that's been valuable for us to hear that all together. So thank you for that as well. And if you can just please let Angie Naylor know, if you could send a confirmation email to her today or Monday about the exact number from, I know some of you mentioned the number that are coming or may be coming to December 2nd's workshop, but if you could please just email Amy that exact number so she can make the appropriate accommodations for that day, that would be great. And other than that, my prayers too are with you all. I believe that this could be something very beneficial for all of our schools and for our students and families spiritually, especially. So you do have my prayers, and we pray that the Holy Spirit strengthens us and gives us the wisdom to discern what is good and give us the strength and ability to pursue God's will here. So thank you all.
Wonderful. Thank you. Maybe we could just close in that spirit with one glory be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, As it was in the beginning,
is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all, and thank you for your time and your attention. And please don't hesitate if we can provide any other information for you. We hope to see you. Colleen will hope to see you on December 2nd. Mm-hmm. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay. God bless.
God bless.